Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
It is Heart to Heart. Hello to you if you just joined us. You are on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, 657 AM. And it is Heart to Heart with me up until 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, we say hello to Dramini Yon, else on something else. We give you awesome sounds. Beautiful. I was dancing. I hope that you were dancing together with me. And that is Hezekiah Walker and the song Every Praise. Yes, every praise be to our God. And we're sitting on 22 minutes. Just before 2 o'clock, right here on 657 AM Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. I see you, Beverly Trumpeter. Hello to you. How are you, my queen? It's been some time. It's been a minute. So it's always an honor. It's always an honor. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. And I see she says, "Good day, my queen and family. Always an honor to tune in and listen. God bless us all. May He bless us all." In 2022, may we see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, yeah, may it be so. Paul Letago, hello to you. Thank you so much for joining in. Ah, Kiba Emerentia, how are you? How are you? Ah, thank you so much for joining in. Gillian Mickholm, hello, hello, hello. Obit James Ferdinand Van Zyl, I think I saw your message somewhere here on our WhatsApp as well, ne? Obut, am I correct? Yeah, he says, Dumelang, Ausi and family, just tuned in and, you know, love you too, Obut. Kelosman Jr. Goodman, hello, hello, hello. Justice Chapungu, hello to you. And Pietros Jacobs, hello, hello. Willem Fortune, hello to you. Dorothy Mudisele, hello. Aida Mabayeni, hello. Hello to you, Kekinyaku, hello. And I think I greeted Jenny Cupido, Samuel, Bashana, is it Bashna, Bedelia Willems, and Trina, Sanelile, Kamazungu Machola. I hope I'm saying it correctly. Hello to you. Thank you. Queenie Crowder. Hello, hello, hello. My kings and queens. Cookie. Hello to you, Cookie. And she says, good afternoon, my dear Queen Sibongile. I really enjoyed learning about depression, the many ways in it manifests itself. Ish. Yeah. But our God, hey? And she says, could I please have the... Okay, I'll send you via our WhatsApp. I'll just write the numbers to you. Okay, then. And she says, thanks a million, my queen. Thank you so much, my queen, for also tuning in. We thank God who loves us so much that, you know, He always makes sure that we are strengthened. We are ready to go on and move on in our lives in spite of whatever that we face. He's a God who's there, a God who strengthens us, a God who empowers us, a God who refreshes us, who vitalizes our mortal bodies through His Spirit, His Holy Spirit that dwells in us. He does that and He's able to do it. And you can trust Him. And He's also able to vitalize our marriages, refresh our marriages. Muruti, am I correct? How are you?
I'm blessed of the Lord and very strong. Thank you so much, ma'am. And indeed, you are correct. Yes, He's able to do that. He's able to revitalize us as married people.
And restore. But even when we think this is over, there's no resurrection that's coming here. And He's like, I am God. I am God. I'm able to do beyond your imagination. And He does it. And He does it. Rikocho Bongani, hello to you. Thank you so much for being with us and joining in. I see you. Muruti, let's go back. Let's check what is partnership all about. We're talking marriage. What is partnership all about? Again, for the last year in January, what is partnership all about?
No, thank you so much. Partnership is about agreement. It's about cooperating together, cooperating with each other as married people. It's about doing everything on the basis of a covenant, entering into a covenant with one another to function together as a synergy.
Mm-hmm.
and making sure that each partner put in their share of responsibility, and that, you know, each partner contributes their 100%. And therefore, in that way, they are able to pull together. And that agreement has to be respected at all times. And the way to respect that agreement is to ensure that there is effective communication between the two partners, so that nothing is done without the consent of the other, nor would anything be done without agreement. And that encompasses every area of our lives, be it our physical bodies, in relation to the marriage bed, be it our possessions, including our gadgets, our cell phones, our television, cars, you name it. And be it also the question of our time as individuals, to say that we need to respect each other's need to have time to ourselves, to have me time. Because you need to be able, as an individual, to reflect on yourself, reflect on your relationship with God, reflect on your relationship with your spouse. And that then helps to revitalize. And I must also emphasize that we do need to be careful to understand that God does not actually revive marriage. He revives the individuals within the marriage. Because, sometimes the way that we say these things gives the impression that marriage is something that functions on its own, apart from the partners involved. So, then brings in the temptation to think that even if I don't put in my weight, even if I don't put in my contribution, my marriage will remain intact as long as I can pray and as long as I can confess.
As long as I can pray? No actions in it?
Yeah, there are people who actually believe that. And so when there are challenges within the marriage, instead of taking the correct action and the corrective measures to correct whatever went wrong, they would opt to pray. They would opt to go on a fast. They would opt to ask for prayers. And we can pray for you. That's not a problem, actually. We're praying for people all the time. But that does not take away from each individual the responsibility to fulfill your role as a marriage partner. And also to ensure your own maturity, so that your understanding of marriage and all the issues involved in marriage is well developed to the point where it can allow the two of you to coexist with one another, despite, challenges, despite disagreement, despite not seeing things eye to eye all the time. But you can be able to coexist in the same space without strangling each other to death.
Alrighty then. Without strangling each other to death. And so today we're looking at oneness. And the question that one would have is, does partnership or is partnership and oneness one thing?
Okay. Partnership and oneness is actually not one thing.
Okay.
But yeah, they are interconnected.
Okay.
The one assists the other. Partnership, when it is done properly, leads to
oneness.
Oneness.
Okay.
So now, without that partnership being handled well, the oneness becomes a challenge. So it is very important for us to understand that we need to work on the partnership and to work on perfecting our ability to exist as partners and to function as partners in order to ensure that we attain to the oneness that is needed and that is important in marriage. We see it when we look into the Word of God. We go to Genesis chapter 2, and you look at verse number 24. The Bible says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother,
and cleave,
and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Mm-hmm. Now we realize that, you know, preceding the question of them being one flesh is the question of the husband leaving his parents to cleave to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that principle applies both ways.
Okay.
You know, that the wife also has to leave
and cleave to her husband.
And cleave. So if we don't leave and cleave, it becomes difficult to become one.
Hey, I think the Bible was thinking about our black culture, hey? When it was written. That says you marry me. Gladwell marries Sibongile, and then Sibongile has to move to Gladwell's mother's house.
Yeah.
You know, and then the mother, Gladwell's mother will teach Sibongile about the family and tradition and how to do everything traditional. But now that is tradition. That's not God's word.
Yeah, that is tradition. And it's actually not just, you know, the African tradition that does that.
I know. I think some Indian traditions also do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in other, outside South Africa, in other worlds as well, other parts of the world. Yeah, you get married, you bring her to the house. And you share the same space with everyone as though nothing has happened. You know, you just added a new family member. And I should imagine cleaving being difficult in that space.
No, it's going to be difficult because in the first place, when you bring your wife to your family home, you are not the head of that family. You know, your father is the head of that.
So you can't have things your way in this space.
You are then forced to convince your partner and in some cases coerce them into submitting to your father's law and way of doing things. And that's where conflict sometimes
comes through.
Between two partners. You know, because we are fighting over the fact that, look, you wanting me to submit to your family, your family's ways of doing things, and I'm saying that, you know, I want, you know, you and I to function as a unit, you know, and so that's where fight erupts right there. Because now, as a man, if my wife challenges that, then I feel disrespected. And then I say, no, but now you are disrespecting me, you are embarrassing me in front of my family, in front of my parents. Because remember, the parents will be putting pressure to say, your wife is disrespectful. Why is she not submitting to our laws?
She doesn't wake up at 7.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's still sleeping until 9 o'clock. Why?
Yes.
She doesn't cook breakfast when we all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then what those things do is they tear at the oneness. Now, how they do that, or the reason why they do that, is because there has been no living and cleaving. Now, I know.
So they tamper even with partnership in this regard.
Absolutely.
If you'd go that route. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm saying this being very sensitive to other people whose economic situation doesn't allow them.
Well, there are such cases, yes.
Yeah. You know, and they find themselves having to share their, you know, space
with the in-laws.
With the in-laws or with the parents, stuff like that. I'm sensitive towards that. But I am also saying that it does become important to ensure that you work towards. You do your best to work towards getting to that place where you have your own place, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, if you find yourself under those kind of, circumstances, you need to make sure that you manage that whole process very, very well. And it's not going to be an easy one to ensure that the in-laws do not interfere with your marriage.
The in-laws shouldn't have a say in your marriage. Am I correct? Because this is a new thing altogether. It's a new family. You're not actually I know that in traditional ways, they would say you are growing the surname, you are growing the seed, that you know, you are, yeah. But when it comes to the Lord, it's a new family, it's a new setting, everything new.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we have an example. God comes to Abraham and says to him, leave your father's house.
Come out, yeah.
Yeah, you know, come out from, you know, leave your, even the place where you grew up, take your wife and move.
Yeah.
And you know, that plan involves or includes only Abraham and Sarah. Hmm. But now, you know, he makes a mistake by taking his nephew, Lot, with him.
Hmm.
You know, remember that when God said that to Abram, one of the, you know, the major reasons why God did that was that Abram's family, his father and brothers, they were highly, they believed in idolatry.
Hmm.
And so, you know, that's why the Lord, you know, called him out of that.
Hmm.
So that now he could teach him his way. Hmm. So in the same way, you know, when you decide to get married, you know, you should actually be coming out of your father's house and then standing by yourself to say, now, you know, me and my partner are going to begin a new life.
Yeah.
And we are going to establish our own ways of doing things.
Mm. Now, Muruti, there are those ones, sorry to interject, there are those ones you find with, you mentioned economy, Kali, still strained a little bit, and so they find themselves in these spaces. But I've seen others building outside in the same yard, but having their own space outside. Is it safe that way? Can it also promote partnership and also the boundaries to say, okay, that is my father's house, but this is my space with my wife, with my husband?
Does it help?
Does it work?
Look, It has its challenges.
Okay.
It has its challenges because of the fact that you might build your house, out there, but it's within the same yard.
Yeah.
That is your father's yard.
Mm.
And so whatever you do or whatever you want to do in there, you have to first consult with the rest of the family.
Okay.
And so if as my wife, for example, you want to improve certain things around there, you know, it has to follow a particular process.
Okay.
Because you might do certain things and then one of the family members might come and say, but now who did this? Who gave them permission?
This is my father's space.
This is my father's space.
Okay.
Or your father can come and say, but then why did you do this?
This is my house.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
So it presents those kinds of challenges. It's always best to, you know, if you are able to build, rather find a place of your own and build there so that you can start your own family with your own set of rules, you know, knowing that, you know, both you and your wife and your children will submit to the Lord and to the law of the Lord.
Sure. May the Lord give those who desire to settle down the financial muscle, you know, to move out and be separate from. So that's where oneness starts.
That's where oneness starts, you know, because, and I'm glad that we're raising this point, because the very question of a failure to cooperate and to agree when it comes to finances, for instance, that erupts, you know, it eats away at the question of oneness. You know, because it, once you're not able to agree on that as to where are we going to build our house, for example, where are we going to stay, you know, it challenges the question of oneness. And so you most often you will find a situation where the one partner ultimately gives in. And so they stay in there, but they are not happy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment that is the case, the moment one is not happy to be there, you discover that the marriage is affected. If you look at research, it points to the fact that one of the leading causes of divorce is dissatisfaction and confusion.
Yes.
You know, when people become dissatisfied and they just put up with the situation because they feel they have no choice.
That's a sad one.
Yeah, you know, it's a sad one. because they are unhappy, and when they are unhappy, the relationship between the two people is going to get seriously affected.
Sure. That's a serious one. That's why I'm going to say it again. May the Lord give everyone who wants to settle down a financial muscle so that they can start separately there. All right. I see Joan Marie's. Hello to you, Joan Marie. Thank you so much. And she says, hello, my queen. Happy 2022. I'm enjoying your program. Monday is washing and ironing day, so I am enjoying your program while I'm doing my ironing. Have a great day. Thank you so much, my queen. Enjoy your ironing as well. Nikki, I see you. Nikki says, thanks, family, for talking about marriage. Where can I get the link to this broadcast? It should be there soon on our podcast, on the app, and on our website as well, Nikki. Obut James Ferdinand Fanzel says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Scripture says, leave. Okay, this one is hard. It's a harsh one, Obut. And he says, not holding on to mommy's dress. Not holding on to mommy's dress. Yeah, that's a harsh one. I don't think anyone gets married thinking about holding on to mom's dress. I think sometimes we want this, and we want this so bad that we believe that we can build our marriage starting from there. You know, we can take it from there, although it will have challenges, like you said, Murut. Sometimes we think, okay, let's start here. We'll be strong until we can stand on our own, but let's be together. You know, let's be together. So there will be challenges that you should be on the lookout for when you do that.
Yeah, but I also want to, highlight the fact that it is important to talk about it, that there are some people who get married because of pressure from the parents.
Okay.
And so...
And the person is not yet ready.
Yeah, you know. So I'm doing it for my parents. I'm doing it because my parents say, when are you getting married?
Sure.
We need to have a daughter-in-law. We need to have grandchildren and things of that nature. And so, you know, you marry this person mainly to please your parents. And I think that's what Obut from there is referring to, you know. Or let me say, it touches on that as well, you know. That you've got to make sure that when you do it, it's for you. You don't do it because of your parents, because then if you do it like that, everything that you and your partner do has to please your parents. And this is happening not only with people who are economically challenged. It's also happening with people who come from wealthy families. And in fact, you'll find that in some cases, it happens a lot in those cases, in those families who are well-to-do, where because of the power that they have, you know, as a father, I wield so much power that I can control all my children, I can control all my sons. You know, and I tell them, no, you marry that one and you don't marry that one.
And I want grandchildren. We want grandchildren.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And so I want to choose the kind of grandchildren I want. So I'm going to choose for you who you are going to marry. I'm going to choose the family.
The time you get married, who you're getting married to as well. Absolutely. And the time you give us grandchildren.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. And then you find that, you know, as a wealthy man, I use, you know, things like, if you don't do as I say, then...
Then you're not
getting
your heritage.
Yeah, I'm cutting you out of the wheel, things like that. Or I'm taking that and that away from you. And, you know, some people... feel I can't survive without this, so you know what, I'm just going to do what my father says. And the poor woman comes in there and she is not happy at all.
So both of you are not happy.
Both are not happy at all.
Yeah.
Because number one, the marriage was not really your idea. You know, you did it to secure certain things, to please your parents, your family, etc. and so forth. So it becomes important that when you decide to get married, do it for yourself. Know that you are ready to get married. And so when you do it like that, then, you know, you're not going to live your life to please any other person except your spouse.
Okay.
And your spouse will live in the same way.
All right. Let's go to traffic and then come back to you, Muruti, to talk to you some more.
If you need prayer, please send your request to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za or WhatsApp 067-429-7564 or go to Radio Pulpit website on www.radiopulpit.co.za.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.